tonight, we're on live stream tonight. We're in Omimi, Ontario, just a little north of about an hour drive from Oshawa, where we're from, Missionary Enterprise. My name is Pierre Roussel, founder of Missionary Enterprise, Missionary Aid International. And we've been coming up here for what, last couple of years, Harry?
Yes.
I've been coming up here for the last couple of years, and it's been great. I come here usually every 2 months, 2.5 months, and I get to do some teachings and different things like that, so it's been great. And so tonight we're live streaming, we're making a YouTube video, and so tonight, once again, last time I was here, last month or 2 months ago, I had a few people share some of the verses. I like to get people involved, those who want to get involved. So so we're gonna have Harry and Rosa come up tonight, share specific verses, read them out loud when you guys come up, please, read them out loud. Okay, it's good for the recording. And so tonight, it's February 11th, 2019. And tonight is a condensed topic. Those who know me a little bit, you know what I've been teaching when I come up here. I've been teaching a lot on redemption. I've been teaching on grace. I've been teaching on the judgments of God. I've been teaching on sin and how to stay away from sin, how to live free from sin. I've been teaching on who we are in Christ, what we are in Christ, what belongs to us in Christ. That's part of grace. I've been teaching a lot of mind renewal. I've been teaching a lot about being born of uncorruptible seed, being born with a divine nature. These are a lot of things that are part of my message, because these are the things that the Lord has taught me over the years. And I've told somebody the other day, I don't dare teach things that I don't know what I'm talking about. I hear preachers all the time teaching things they got no business teaching because they don't know what they're talking about, even though they use the Bible to back up what were they teaching, because they're teaching it out of wrong context. It's wrongly interpreted. It's not rightly dividing the word of truth, but wrongly dividing the word of truth. So tonight, I wrote here, key topics condensed is the creation of the universe, the creation of the earth, the creation of mankind, the creation of the Garden of Eden, the fall of mankind, and the consequences of and after the fall of mankind. That's a lot of stuff in there. And I'm going to try to get through this within half an hour, if I can do that. Anyhow, like I said, this is condensed, okay? But we're actually talking about this a little bit before everybody showed up. We talked about the fall, and actually Harry, I could have slapped him, but I won't, because he's a lot bigger than me. And if he slapped me, I'd probably go through the wall. And if I slapped him, I'd probably break my hand. So forget it. But anyhow, he said, what did you say again? It'd be boring if we're perfect. Well, God wants us perfect, and because you know what? It would not be boring if we were perfect. It'd be bliss. It'd be great. Because God would be involved in our lives 24/7, 365. And there's nothing boring about God.
When we get to heaven, we'll all be perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you think it's going to be boring in heaven?
No.
No. So why did you say that if we were perfect, it would be boring? You said that.
You'd have nobody to preach to.
But I'd rather not preach, because I said, but wouldn't that be great? Nobody going to hell?
Yeah, that would be awesome. That's what we're working on.
You know what? I'm going to spank you.
Is that right?
With my Bible.
Okay.
Boom. Okay. So anyhow, the first opening statement I wrote here, if you don't understand the first three chapters of the book of Genesis, if you don't understand it, you will misunderstand as well as misinterpret the rest of the Bible, especially the New Testament, okay? Because the first three chapters of Genesis, the first three chapters are foundational. They're foundational, as in laying the groundwork or the infrastructure. I love that word infrastructure, because the Lord gave me that word a few years ago. I'll touch on it a little bit. For the rest of the Bible, the Lord gave me this word, I think it was 2007, when I got really serious about meditating the word. He says, you are building the infrastructure of my word in your soul. Wow, that really encouraged me. You're building the infrastructure. Now the word infrastructure, I didn't write it here, the definition, the word infrastructure is made up of two words, in, fra, and then structure, a structure. Une structure in français, a building, right? A structure. But the infrastructure, meaning within or underneath. Foundation. It's synonymous with the word foundation. Okay? I was sharing with Wayne, right? I was sharing with Wayne how I worked construction for 23 years. Houses, high rises, hospitals, retirement homes, high schools, public schools. I've worked in all of them. And I wasn't there all the time when they were building the foundation, but I seen a lot of foundations. And you know, for those high rise, 30, 40 floors, stories, 3 years it takes to build a foundation. 3 years. 3 years before they actually start going up. 3 years. Yeah, that's a lot. Because it all, the strength of the top part of the building is based upon the bottom part. It's like a plant, the roots, right? I've taught a lot of that too here, right? Sowing the word, how the word grows as a seed, right? Sowing the word as a seed in order to have the harvest of the word of God, right? We all want to harvest, right? Don't we all want to harvest? Yeah, but we don't want to sow, right? Harry, you know all about, you're a farmer, right? I hope you're a farmer. You keep telling me you're a farmer. I haven't seen your farm yet, but I'm taking your word at it. You're a farmer.
Amen.
So you know what it's like to sow seed so that you can have manjay, so you can manjay one day, right? So you can eat, right? And in the meantime, you go to the groceries and get some food, right?
From the seed.
From the seed that somebody else sown, right?
Yes.
While you're waiting for your own harvest, right?
Right.
Okay. So the infrastructure. Number two, and second opening statement here is there is a specific reason why God decided to introduce himself to mankind, back in Genesis, as the creator. As the creator. Which is the word, the Hebrew word, it's the word Elohim.
Elohim.
Elohim. Which reveals God as the mighty or strong one, and often highlights God as creator and not as Yahweh or Jehovah. Very interesting. The eternal, which means the eternal self-sufficient and existing one. Everything that God says and does has a reason and purpose behind it all. So God introduces himself to us, to mankind, as the creator. There's a reason for that. We're going to get into this tonight. And one of the things that has helped me ever since the Lord really opened this up to me quite a few years ago, is if I can get at least a partial revelation that God is not only my creator, but the creator of the universe, it's going to help me when it comes to what God wants to do in my life. Because if God can create a universe in 6 literal days, which he did, he did. Some people say he used progressive creationists. They believe in evolution, believe it or not. They call themselves Christians. Yeah, okay. No, it's wrong. God created the universe in 6 literal days. If God can, since God has created the universe in 6 literal days, how easy it is for him to accomplish his purposes in my life.
Amen.
It's peanuts. But to God, there's no difference. Whether it's a universe or to bring what he's promised me, to him it's all the same. Because God's the same, right? He uses the same power. It's the same power. To him it's all the same. Because he's God. You know, for me to build a doghouse compared to building a 40-story, you know, building, I mean, don't even ask me. You know, I won't even think about it. You know, a doghouse maybe. Maybe, but I haven't worked with tools in quite a few years. But I'm just trying to make the point that for me, okay, I can do that, but I can't do that. When God says, well, I can do that, and I can do that, and everything in between, because I'm God, okay? So God says, let me do that for you. Okay, that's what God wants to do. God wants to do things for us because we're his children. As long as it lines up with his will, lines up with his purposes, God will do it for you if he promised it for you. So let's start here. Second page here is the creation of the universe and the earth. So I'm going to read the first verse, and then Harry, you're going to come and read Proverbs 3:19, and Rosa, not Rose, Rosa, you're going to come and read John 1:1-3, okay? So I'm going to read the first one. Genesis 1:1-3. In the beginning, God prepared, formed, fashioned, and created the heavens and the earth. Verse 2. The earth was without form and an empty waste, and darkness was upon the face of the earth, a very great deep. The Spirit of God was moving, hovering, brooding over the face of the waters. Verse 3. And God said, I love verse 3. God said, let there be light, or in the Hebrew, light be, and light was.
Amen.
Wow. I love God.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Key word. Four key words. We got the word beginning. We got the word create. Verse 2, we have the word Spirit of God. And then in verse 3, we have the word said. Okay, so Proverbs 3, Harry, make your way over here right now. Proverbs 3:19, you come right beside me here, you look into the camera, and I want you to read it out loud. Go ahead.
The Lord, by skillful and godly wisdom, has founded the earth. By understanding, he has established the heavens.
Amen. Thank you, brother. Key words. Two key words I want to touch on here. The word founded and established. This is what God does. God is a founder and God is an establisher. Okay? And this is good to renew your minds to, because it's going to help you in your walk with God, because God wants to establish things in our lives. God wants to found things in our lives. He hasn't changed. He's God. Let's let God be God in our lives. And let's prove to the world that our God exists and that our God is good.
Amen.
That our God is good. Didn't we just sing? Didn't we just say God is good?
Yes.
All the time? All the time God is good?
Yes.
Yeah, and he is good. He is good. Because in the beginning it says that God had created all these things, and he said he saw that it was what? Good. It was good. Everything God made was good. It's man that made things that are not good, not good. Okay? So, we got the word established. Okay, so my comment is here. Rosa, you can make your way up here. My comment is, God is the founder of the planet Earth as well as the establisher of the universe. Okay? So now we're going to read, Rosa's going to read John 1:1-3. Nice and loud, sister.
In the beginning, before all time, was the Word, Christ. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God himself. All things were made and came into existence through him. And without him was not even one thing made that has come into being.
Amen. Thank you, Rosa. Key word. Two key words. Verse 1, we got the word beginning again. And I'm skipping a lot of stuff here for time's sake. And the other key word is the word made and came into existence. God is a maker. God is a God who can bring things into existence out of non-existence. Meaning, one moment they don't exist, and then the next moment they exist. Right? God said, light be, light was. There was no light. And he just spoke it. And he performed what he spoke. He's the performer of the word, right? We're not going to get into that tonight. There's too much. Observations and comment. There are great parallels between Genesis 1:1 and John 1:1. We just read that. We just read Genesis 1:1 and we read John 1:1 because of the words in the beginning. You notice that? In the beginning, both. Okay? But yet, there are great differences because of these words. In the beginning, God created, which was back in Genesis. And in the Gospel of John, it says, in the beginning was the Word. In John, it doesn't say in the beginning God created. It says in the beginning was the Word. And Genesis says in the beginning God created. Yes. But we're going to look how those two work together. Because I wrote here, but in John 1:3, just two verses down from John 1:1, we have all things were made and came into existence through Him. Who's Him?
The Word.
The Word. Jesus, the Word. And without Him, the Word was not even one thing made that has come into being. Okay? So see the parallels between Genesis 1:1 and John 1:1? All right? So let's flip the page over here. These pages are, they're thick, but they're, okay. So Harry, who's up? You're going to come here. You can come right now. You're going to read Romans 4:17. Just give me a minute here. Come on in here. Which is actually found in Genesis 1:3. Yeah, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. Key word, said. He said. What did He say? What did He speak? Words. Words. He is the Word. Okay? So those are the parallels between Genesis account and what we read in the Gospel of John. Great parallels. Okay? Which is also found in the last part of, you go ahead, brother, Romans 4:17.
Romans 4:17. God who gives life to the dead and calls words those things which are not exist as though they did exist.
That's right. So when He calls things that do not exist, how does He do that? He speaks words. Words. He is the Word. That's why when I started getting into this, I began to appreciate more the Word, the Bible. Because He is the Bible. He is the Word. Okay?
Amen.
Yeah. So final observation before we move on here. Final observation and comment. Number one is all of this says much about God Himself as in who He is as well as what He is regarding His capabilities or His abilities. It says a lot about who He is and what He can do. Okay? Number two, in order to create all that God created, He created all out of nothing. I know. I meant it. Okay. I'll share a little bit on that after. Meaning it did not exist previously, including all of the material and substance that was needed to create everything that is found in the universe. I just wrote a few things here. Some of the things that are in the universe out there. First of all, we have galaxies. I won't read the rest of it, but we got galaxies. We got stars, we got black holes, we got planets, we got comets, we got meteors, and whatever else out there. There's all kinds of stuff out there that God created. Okay? So, what I want to say here, He created out of nothing. So, the substance, the material substance needed to create the planets, the suns, the galaxies, the substance, the stuff that makes the plants, He had to actually create that out of nothing. If I want to build something, which I have lately, I've been building some stuff around the house, renovation, where do I go? What do? I go to Rona's, I go to Home Depot, I go to Lowe's, right? That's where I go, right? Where do they go? Where do you think they get their lumber from? They go to trees, right? They go somewhere where they make lumber. And they get their lumber from the tree, different things like that, right? Well, where do those trees come from? But originally, where do the trees come from? God, right? In the beginning, right? If you read we're going to look at it in Genesis, God planted trees in the garden. Yes. So that's where trees come from. So today we've got wooden floors, right? Where did the wood come from? From trees. Where did the trees come from? God. Okay, so I was working Aurelia a few years ago, working at the casinos, construction. I wasn't in the casinos, I wasn't gambling. I was working, we were working in the ballrooms. These things were like, I don't know how, 60, 70 feet high ceilings with chandeliers. We're doing the drywall. And we're sitting at lunchtime and we're sitting at a picnic. They brought in a picnic table for us to sit on. To eat lunch and breaks and stuff like that. And I'm sitting there, we're all sitting, a bunch of us, and then all of a sudden, I don't know, just the Holy Spirit, I know it's the Holy Spirit, And I said, you know, we're all happy they brought in a picnic table. We didn't have to sit on the drywall, pile of drywall, stuff like that. And I said, well, where do you guys think the picnic table come from? They go, what are you talking about? Like, well, I don't know. It came from some store, you know? Yeah, but where did they get, where did the wood come from? From trees, man. Where do you think they came from? Yeah, but where did the trees come from? Where are you going with this, Pierre? Where did the trees come from? We don't know. You know where the trees? Yeah, God. Oh, no. Now he's preaching at us again. Always finding a way to preach at him. I'll use anything to preach at him. I don't care what it is. I got to preach at somebody. That's right. I'm not going to preach at birds because they don't need to get saved. Right? Nor animals. Maybe Harry's animals. You got animals?
A lot of them.
Maybe they need to get saved.
I see bald eagles on
the beach. Have you really? Wow. I got to go up there. Yeah. I like falcons. You got falcons up there?
Probably so.
Yeah. Yeah, I like falcons. You've seen two bald eagles, eh? That's great. Okay, number two is the creation of mankind. So we looked at creation of the universe. Now we're going to look at creation of mankind, the Garden of Eden, and the fall of mankind. So Rosa, come on up. Thank you for coming up like that. So read out Genesis 1:26. I'll read the key words, and you stick around for verse 27, okay? So I'll do the key words, but you stick around for that verse. So go ahead, verse 26.
God said, let us, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, make mankind in our image, after our likeness, and let them have complete authority over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, the tame beasts, and over all the earth, and over everything that creeps upon the earth.
There. So key words. We got five key words here. The first word is the word make, once again, which is synonymous with the word create. Then we've got the word mankind. Then we've got the word image. Then we've got the word likeness. And then we've got this huge sentence here. Let them have complete authority or dominion over all of the earth. Okay, those are key words. So now you're going to read verse 27 for me.
All right, so God created man in his own image. In the image and likeness of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it. Key words. Two key words. First one, of course, once again, is the word created. The word created is actually used three times. Three times in one little verse. Okay? So is God, does he got a problem in repeating himself? No. There's a reason why God repeats himself. Putting much emphasis on God as the creator. Okay? Anytime God says something once is enough for me to pay attention. But if he says it twice or three times, you know what? I better really give attention. There's a reason for that. Okay? So then the other word is the word image or likeness. Of course, all this stuff is going to be on our, we're going to put that on the videos, the images for the Greek words, stuff like that, Hebrew words. So God repeats himself again. Once again, the word image and likeness, putting much value upon his own image, and so must we, because God has an image. You know, the people, even, you don't even have to be part of Hollywood. People in Hollywood, they're really concerned about the image, their image, the way they look, the way they present themselves, right?
Yeah.
They're very, that's pride, right?
Yes.
But you know what, you don't have to be in Hollywood. I know a lot of Christians that they want to come across as, you know, they've got a certain image they want to put off to the people, especially when they show up in church. You know, everybody's got their nice shoes on, they got their nice dress on, they got their nice suits on, and then when they go home, they take it all off. What the hell are you taking it off for? Keep it on. Well, you think God only sees you when you go to church, and when you go home, God don't see you? Oh, he walked in the house, I can't see him anymore. No, you put your new tie on, you put your new shoes on for the guy next door. That's why. I heard somebody say this years ago, it's like a pageant when you go to church. It's like a pageant, a beauty pageant.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's what it is. Not all churches, but a lot of them are like that. You know what? And God don't look at what you're wearing. What does God look at?
The heart.
The heart. He looks at the heart. And that, I'll tell you, you can't dress that up. Anyhow, I don't care if you buy Donald Trump ties either. It doesn't matter. I have a Donald Trump tie. I bought it years ago before he became not prime minister, but president. Anyhow, so okay, so let's read, Harry, you got to come up here. You got to read verse 28 for me. And then I'll have you read Genesis 2. I'll have you guys read a little bit more while you're up here. So go ahead, read verse 28. I'll do the key words. And then you'll read Genesis 2 after that. Go ahead.
And God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful, multiply, and fill the earth, and subdue it, using all its vast resources in the services of God and man, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, and over every living creature that moves upon the earth.
Okay, so stay here. Key words here. We've got the word blessed. God is a God who blesses. Be fruitful. God wants to be fruitful. Okay, that's the kind of God we have, we serve. Yeah. Multiply. God wants us to multiply. God is a multiplying God. Fill the earth. Fill the earth. Subdue the earth. That's the kind of God we serve. Have dominion over it. Wow, these are all key commands that God gave us back in the garden before the fall of man. And God has not changed. I'm not going to get into this tonight, but God opened this up to me a couple months ago, how we still have that dominion. He wants us to exert that dominion over this earth. Go ahead, brother. Genesis 2, 7 to 12. Hold on here. Just at least read 7 and 8 for now, anyhow. 7 and 8. Go ahead.
Then the Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath or spirit of life, and man became a living being. The Lord God planted a garden towards the east in Eden. And I guess Eden means delight.
That's right.
And there he put the man whom he had formed, framed and constituted.
Okay, thank you very much, brother. So observations on what Harry just read here. First of all, God formed man outside of the garden. I remember when I saw that. I didn't realize that. I didn't know that. You know, out of my ignorance. God had actually created man outside of the garden. So that means he created the garden first, and then he created man outside, and then he put him into the garden. That's very interesting, because the garden is where man's provision was. See? So God made provision for man. So he created him outside the garden, then he put him in the garden where he gave him the provision, and that's where he got the dominion and all these different things. So I'm going to read verse 9, then you can come up and read the rest, Rosa. Just hold on. And out of the ground the Lord God made to grow every tree that is pleasant. There we go. Jerry, right?
Gary,
sorry about that. The trees, see? That's where the trees come from. So when you walk outside tonight, when you walk into a tree, when you bump your head into a tree, just remember God created those trees, okay?
Yeah.
All right. Made to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight or to be desired, good, suitable, pleasant for food. The tree of life also in the center of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of the difference between good and evil and blessing, calamity. Key words. We have four key words in all of this. We got the word every tree. We are surrounded by trees. I don't care where you are. I've been going downtown Toronto again a little bit lately, doing some videos with David. And you know what? There's not as many trees there as there is in Oshawa, but there's trees. You can't get away from trees. Can't get away from them. They're everywhere. I can just imagine what it looked like in the garden. There must have been trees. I'll tell you, Adam must have been walking into trees all the time. It's like, another tree, another tree, another tree. Another. That's where I guess he did it. You think Adam created the chainsaw?
He didn't have to.
Didn't have to. Thank you very much. Before the fall. Chainsaws came after the fall.
Right.
At the fall. That's right. Thank you. Now you're getting it. You're finally getting it. 2.5 years later, you're finally getting it.
Yeah.
Good stuff. All right. All right. So we got every tree. Then we've got the tree of life. Then we've got in the center of the garden, very important, in the center of the garden, and then we've got the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Come on up here. Who's next? Rosa, come on up. Sorry about that. Verse 10, 11, and 12. Come on in here. Go ahead.
Now a river went out of Eden to water the garden. And from there, it divided and became four river heads. The first is named Pishon. It is the one flowing around the whole land of Havilah, where there is gold.
Gold. You like gold?
Oh, I do.
I like gold too.
Yeah.
You can buy some big jets with those. Hallelujah.
I'd be happy with a necklace.
No, I bet you got more than two necklaces.
Think big, right?
Think big, that's right. Yeah.
The gold of that land is of high quality.
Hallelujah.
Bdellium, pearl, and onyx, stone, are there too.
Amen. Thank you very much. You know what? Stick around for verse 15. So we have key words here. Four key words. Is the word Eden. I love the word Eden. We don't have time to get into that, what it means. Actually, the word Eden carries the idea of intimacy. Intimacy. Okay? Then we got the word gold. I remember when I saw that. It's also found, I wrote here, Revelation 21, 18 to 21, where heaven is made out of gold. Not just streets, but the whole city of heaven is made out of gold. So God is the creator of gold. So when next time you see gold, thank God for gold. And make sure you got some in your pockets. Make sure it's not the heathen that has it all. You need some gold.
It's all up in the streets of heaven to walk on.
No, no, you want it near. You don't need it up there. You won't need gold when you're up there. You need it now. You can buy yourself a new pair of boots. All right.
Gold boots.
No, not gold boots, but anyhow. And then we got the word Bdellium. Bdellium. I like the way you spelt that. Pronounce it. Bdellium.
Bdellium.
I think that's right. Bdellium, yeah. And then onyx stone. These are expensive. To me, it means money. It means rich. It means wealthy. It means provision. That's right. That's worth money. People pay a lot of money to put that on a little ring. You know, you pay a lot of money for that stuff. And God created it. It belongs to us. Okay, verse 19.
All right. And the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden.
See?
To tend and guard and keep it.
That's what he told them to do with it.
That's what he told them to do.
Okay, thank you very much.
Okay.
Key words. Took the man and put him in the garden. We already touched on that. To what? To tend it, but also to keep it, to guard it. To guard it, to protect it. To protect it. God expected Adam to protect the garden. Did he protect the garden? No. He didn't protect the garden. The serpent came in, right? Yeah. Okay. Observation comments. Because of these key words, guard and keep it, this implies major warfare, which is found in chapter 3. We know all about chapter 3. We're not really going to get too much into chapter 3 tonight because I got to move on. Regarding the serpent leading to the fall of man. In other words, it was the devil's intent to get Adam out of the garden because the garden was the place where God had given him his dominion, as well as his provision, so and so much more. And because of what Adam did or did not do, God had no other choice but to do what he did, which is found in the preceding chapters. Harry, you want to come up here? The preceding chapters is found in Genesis 3, chapter 3, 23 and 24, and then I'll have you read the rest. Go ahead, 23, 24, nice and loud.
Therefore the Lord sent him forth to the Garden of Eden.
From the Garden of Eden.
From the Garden of Eden to till the ground from which he was taken.
Outside the garden.
Outside the garden.
That's right.
24.
24.
So God drove out the man and placed him at the east.
Placed at the east.
At the east of the Garden of Eden.
The cherubim.
The cherubim and the flaming sword which turned every way to keep the guard the way to the tree of life.
Wow. Okay, stick around. All this taking place, God ousted Adam from the garden. He kicked him out. Boom! Out! Because of what? Genesis 2, 16 and 17. You go ahead.
And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, you may freely eat of every tree of the garden.
17.
But of the tree of knowledge of good and evil and blessing and calamity you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die.
And that's exactly what he did. He ate. He did the opposite of what God told him to do. Right? So that's why he had to get him out of the garden. So key word, verse 17 here in Genesis 2, we have, in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. So he warned him in advance. God warned him in advance. He told him what to do, told him what not to do, told him what would happen if he did, and Adam actually did the opposite. And we've been reaping the consequences ever since, and we're going to look at that a little bit tonight. So observations, comments here. There was no time back in the garden before the fall, yet I believe that even if Adam had his posterity had been on the earth for 1,000 years or more and had eventually eaten of the tree, he or we would have lost it all because of the words in that day. So basically, you know, when I see a watch, I don't wear a watch. You know, I heard a preacher saying, faith don't wear a watch, meaning when God has promised you something, don't look at the time. Make sure you're in faith and let God bring it to your life in His time. But time, the concept of time, came in through the fall of man. There was no time before the fall. So every time I see a watch, you got a watch? You got a watch. Every time I see a watch or a clock, it reminds me of the fall of man. We're surrounded by things that remind me of the fall. Not only sin, not only porn, all that stuff, but even when I see a clock, it reminds me of the fall, because if it wasn't for the fall, we would not need clocks today, because there was no time back in the garden. Because God expected man to live for eternity. So how can you measure eternity? You can't measure eternity with a clock and calendar. You can't.
Right.
Calendars came in through the fall. Dates, all that stuff, that's because of the fall. So every time I look at a calendar, a clock, whatever, I'm reminded of the fall. It's just the way my mind thinks. That's called mind renewal. Okay, observations and comments again. Another one. Adam did end up dying physically, yet he died spiritually immediately once he lost the image of God, which is proven in Genesis 5, 1 to 3. Hold on, I can read this. This is the book, the written record, the history of the generations of the offspring of Adam. When God created man, he made him in the likeness of God. That's verse 1. But then verse 2, something very interesting happened here. Or 3. He created them male and female and blessed them and named them both Adam, man. At that time, they were both created. They were created. But verse 3, when Adam had lived 130 years, that's after the fall, he had a son in his own likeness, not in the likeness of God, in his own likeness, after his image. And he named him Seth. So comment, the image of God versus the image of man in his fallen state, verse 3. I never saw that until years ago. I said, wow, Adam had his first son, or one of his sons, all of his sons, anyhow, in his own image, which was not the image of God, but a fallen image. And we've had that image ever since, which is why God introduced the new birth. Because when you're born again, you're born with the image of God in your spirit. Right, Rosa?
Yes.
We're spirit, soul, and body, right? We touched on that, right? We've been born again in our spirit, but not in our soul, right? Our soul needs to get transformed, right, into His image, right? That's right. Okay, so last part of the teaching here, the last leg of the teaching. I got quite a few verses here, so you guys want to get ready for that. Who's the next one in line? 3, you can come on, you can come up while I'm reading this. The consequences of and after the fall of mankind, the loss of God's image, the loss of the dominion, the loss of the garden, the loss of the tree of life, the loss of intimacy with His Creator. All of this in light of God's sovereignty, which is a whole other teaching all in itself, which I'm not going to get into tonight. We touched on this a little bit, me and Harry, talking with David a little bit before everybody showed up, talking about God, how people say that God is sovereign, God is in control of everything. No, He's not. The minute God created man, God gave away His freedom. God gave away His own freedom and gave the freedom over to man to choose what God told him to do. God tells us what to do, but He won't do it for us. He tells us what to do. Right through the whole Old Testament, right to the New Testament, He tells us what to do, tells us how to do it, and He tells us if you don't do it, this is what's going to happen, but He won't do it for you, and He won't force you to do it, because you're a free moral agent. So let's read Genesis 6, 5, 11 to 13. You can read all 1, 2, 3, 4. You can read all 4 verses, but I'm going to read the key words, okay? So you start with verse 3.
The Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination and intention of all human thinking was only evil continually.
Key words, two key words. Wickedness of man was great. Hasn't changed, has it? Has it changed?
No.
It has not changed.
No.
Next one is every imagination and intention of all human thinking was only evil continually. Verse 11.
The earth was depraved and putrid in God's sight, and the land was filled with violence, desecration, infringement, outrage, assault, and lust for power.
Hasn't changed one bit. Key words, depraved and putrid. Key word again, second key word, filled with violence, desecration, infringement, outrage, assault, and lust for power. I am seeing this in the news everywhere now.
Wow, yes.
And it's been like that for years. It's been like that for centuries. Okay?
Worse.
It's getting worse. Verse 12, go ahead.
And God looked upon the world and saw how degenerate, debased, and vicious it was. For all humanity had corrupted their way upon the earth and lost their true direction.
Wow, they lost their true direction. Have we ever lost our true direction? Key words, degenerate, debased, and vicious. Other key word, all humanity. He didn't say some of humanity, all. How many went into the ark? This is before the ark. How many? Eight. Noah, his wife, their three sons, and the three, their wives. Eight. The rest, gone. Okay? All humanity, next key words, corrupted their way, and this last one is the real humdinger, lost their true direction. Lost their true direction. Yeah? Turned away from God. Turned away from God. Okay? Verse 13.
So God said to Noah, I intend to make an end of all flesh, for through men the land is filled with violence, and behold, I will destroy them and the land.
Wow, key words here, through men. Not God, through men. Men void of God's image. It says, through men the land is filled with violence.
Right.
Not God, man. And then filled with violence. Okay, thank you. I'm going to read Ephesians 2, 1-3, and then I'll have Harry come up after. Ephesians 2, 1-3, another great section in the New Testament concerning what it's like to be separated from God because of the fall. And you, when you were dead, slain by your trespasses and sins, verse 2, in which at one time you walked habitually, he's talking to Christians who used to walk like that. I call them my BC days, before Christ, before they got born again. You are following the course and fashion of this world. You're under the sway and the tendency of the present age, following the prince of the power of the air. You're obedient to and under the control of the demon spirit that still constantly works in the sons of disobedience, the careless, the rebellious, and the unbelieving who go against the purposes of God. Verse 3, among these, we as well as you once lived, see, once, until they got born again, and conducted ourselves in the passions of our flesh, our behavior, governed by our corrupt and sensual nature, obeying the impulses of the flesh and the thoughts of the mind, our cravings dictated by our senses and our dark imaginings. That means a dark imagination, or an imagination that has been darkened with sin. We were then by nature children of God's wrath and heirs of his indignation. Here you can come up, like the rest of mankind. Wow, I tell you, the Amplified really catches it. Okay, read Ephesians 4:17-19.
So this I say and solemnly testify in the name of the Lord as in his presence, that you must no longer live as the heathen, the Gentiles, do in their
perverseness,
in the folly, the vanity, the emptiness of their souls, and their futility of their minds.
18.
Their moral understanding is darkened, and their reasoning is beclouded. They are alienated, estranged, and self-banished from the life of God, which no share in it. This is because of the ignorance of what the knowledge of perception and the willful blindness that is deep-seated in them,
wow,
due to their hardness of heart and the insensitivities of their moral nature.
19.
In their spiritual apathy, they have become calloused and past feeling and reckless and have abandoned themselves a prey to the unbridled
sensuality,
eager and greedy to indulge in every form of impurity,
wow,
that their depraved desires may suggest and demand.
That's pretty powerful stuff, isn't it?
Yeah.
That describes exactly what I see out there.
Yes.
Exactly, to a T. To a T. All right? So observation, comments, we're wrapping it up here. My question years ago, as it is still a big question to this very day, was, is this, since God is all-knowing, and he is, he's all-knowing, he's omniscient, why did God go ahead with his plan of creation? Why? Knowing well beforehand that Adam would fall, and with the fall having all of these horrible consequences on this planet. Why did God go ahead with the plan of creation? Well, I got my answer a few years later, and this is the answer that I got. God had no other choice in the matter but to go ahead with the creation of man, knowing well in advance the fall would take place, because if God had decided to not go ahead with his plan of creation because of knowing this, he would have taken man's freedom away, choosing for man instead of allowing man to choose for himself. Hallelujah. I got that from a preacher, a journalist, Ezra Levant. He said something about the CRTC, and when I heard that, God put it all together for me. I was on my swing in the back of the house, and I got my answer. It was the summertime, and it set me free from that haunting question for years. Why? Why? Knowing God, you knew that man would become pedophiles. You knew that man would rape little children. Man would behead people, rip their heads off. Man would rape women. Man would, you know, do all these atrocities, stuff like that. You still went ahead and created man. And when I heard Ezra saying that the CRTC, they're trying to choose for us what should be on the television, while Ezra said we have a remote control, we have the freedom to choose what we want to watch on TV. If you don't want to watch something, change the channel. And when I heard that, that's when God showed me that God had no choice. Because if he had chosen for us, he would have taken our free moral agency away, and he would have actually went against his own self and what he had created mankind to be. Thank you for your time. I really appreciate it. And any questions, we can wrap it up. Thank you for the live streaming, and thank you for the viewership. And we're going to be doing another video. Oh, that's going to be a French one on Monday. So that's going to be on my French channel. So Tuesday. Today's Monday. Tuesday. We're doing another video tomorrow for our brothers in Africa. So thank you for your time. Amen.